Well, good morning, Bethany. What is up, my people? It is good to see you. Good to be with you. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And so if you got your Bibles, turn and meet me there. I use the ESV, if you have that on your electronic version. That's where we're going to be. And just looking around the room, the truth comes out. These are my friends who don't own cabins. And so I'm remembering who I'm not going to invite over so they can invite me back to their cabin. So we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're wrapping up the book of Ecclesiastes, and we've been looking at how the book of Ecclesiastes has been talking about purpose. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is trying to do. And as we talked week one, it's working together with the book of Job, and the book of Proverbs to answer how should we live wisely in this world? What's our meaning? What's our purpose? How should we live? So that's what Ecclesiastes has been asking. And remember week one, we talked about how our circumstances are like smoke. That's the word that Ecclesiastes has been using. He's been calling things hevel. We try and grab on to meaning in our circumstances and our money and our time and our years and our work, our possessions, our everything. But as soon as you really grab onto those things, the writer has been telling us, well, it's smoke. It's gone. It's in your fingers and then it's poof, it's gone. And so our circumstances are hevel, they're meaningless. How could we find meaning and lasting purpose in things that we can't control, that we can't earn, that we can't understand, right? How can we find lasting meaning in things that I didn't earn? How can I find lasting meaning in things I can't understand? So our circumstances are meaningless. And we looked at how our money is meaningless. And when Tyler was preaching, he said something that really stuck in my head. He was talking about how we're always trying to add zeros onto the back of our bank account. And I thought, man, that's really ironic, right? We want to add zeros onto the back of our bank account. It's a zero. I know you think it means something. I know you think it stands for $10,000 or $100,000 or whatever, but it really is a zero. And that actually means something. Like, it is nothing. Like, it doesn't matter how much money you get. It doesn't guarantee anything. It's a zero. It doesn't guarantee your happiness. It doesn't guarantee your pleasure. It doesn't guarantee your comfort. It doesn't guarantee your ability to be used by God in this world. It doesn't guarantee anything. It's a zero. Like, what have we thought about it like that? What have we understood that, oh, it doesn't matter how many zeros I have on my bank account. It's not going to change my heart. It's not going to change my use in this world. It's not going to change my relationships. All it's actually going to do is add more money, more problems, right? All it's going to do is complicate my life. All it's going to do is get in the way, really, sometimes. So our money doesn't satisfy us. And I love this quote by Jim Carrey I came across a couple weeks ago. He says, I wish everyone could experience being rich and famous so that they'd see it wasn't the answer to anything. Now, I can't tell you that from personal experience, but we all know Jim Carrey's name. We all know his movies. And to hear that coming from him, and there's 1,000 quotes like this that we can hear from rich, famous celebrities, that doesn't matter how much money you get, they feel that it's zeros. I know we would love to have 9 zeros behind our checking account, but some of these people do, and they know that they're zeros. They know that they are meaningless. And so as soon as you grab onto money, can I find lasting meaning in money? No, it's smoke. It's gone. Can't find it in my circumstances. Can't find it in money. I can't find it in time. My time is meaningless. As David was praying last week and he had us hold our hands open, I couldn't help but imagining being at the beach and taking a handful of sand, and he had all the timers going with the sand in them, and the hourglass can't quite grab the sand. It can't quite stop it. I remember so many times in my life sitting and playing with the sand at the beach, and you pick up a handful and you hold it in your hand, and no matter how tightly you squeeze, the sand is always going to find a way out, right? Like, it's just going to keep falling out somewhere, right? Like, the sand is slipping through our fingers as we're here in this room. We can't quite hold on to our time. We'd love to go back in time and hold on to our youth, but it's slipping away, and soon enough, all of our sand will be gone. As soon as you grab on to circumstances or grab on to money or grab on to time and youth and energy, well, it's gone. It slips through our fingers like smoke. And so that's what we've been looking at in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so today we're going to try and ask the question and hopefully answer and see from Ecclesiastes is, why is this the case? Why can we not find meaning anywhere else? Yeah, it's pretty clear if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest and we really look at our lives and look at, does money ever really make me happy? No. Do my circumstances ever really quite last and ever really satisfy me? No, I always want a little something different. And as soon as I get a good circumstance, it's gone. And okay, that's not true. And my time, I'm always getting older. I'm never quite the age I want to be. And it's always just slipping through my fingers. If we're honest, that's true. But we have to ask the question, why is that true? And so I think Ecclesiastes does a fantastic job of summarizing this in chapter 3. And so we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 20. So I'll give you a second to get there. Chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. What gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people will fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what he has driven away. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them, that they may see for themselves that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and to dust all return. So what we're going to look at in this passage is I see three things going on in this passage that help answer the question why. Why, when as soon as I grab onto money, as soon as I grab onto all these things, why are they smoke? Why do they not satisfy me? Well, three reasons. First reason is in verse 11. Go back there. My ESV says it this way, and I've got it on the screen for you. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to end. God has put eternity in man's heart. And so that feels like a strange phrase, eternity in man's heart. Okay, eternity is a length of time. It's not really a length of time. It's just all time. God has put eternity in our hearts. Well, the Amplified Version in our preaching team meeting, Glenna brought up the Amplified Version. I thought this was awesome. Says this, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in his time. He has also planted eternity or a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out or comprehend or grasp what God has done, his overall plan from the beginning to the end. I think that just says it absolutely perfectly. He's planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart. I think wherever we go on earth, this isn't just a biblical conception that you've read the Bible and now you have the sense of eternity. No, wherever you go on planet earth, you're going to find people who have eternity in their hearts. You're going to find people who have a longing for needing or for purpose. There's an amazing book by a missionary from Papua New Guinea, or actually it was the opposite side, the Indonesian side of Papua New Guinea. His name is Don Richardson, and he has a book by this title. And he goes through all the different, tons of different people groups around the world and how they each are, even before they've ever had a missionary, before they've ever had the Bible, they're searching after God, and they have stories and visions in their culture of missionaries coming and bringing the good news of God's word just all around the world. There's hundreds of these stories. And Acts 17 says that God has placed each people group in each of its times and each of its languages and each of its places so that Each one of those groups would seek after God and eventually find him. We all have this eternal need in our lives for lasting purpose. And everywhere, whether you're in the United States and have money and possessions, or whether you're in Papua New Guinea and have relatively little, well, you still feel the smoke of this world. You still feel that I can't quite get, no matter how many children I have, no matter how many whatever I do, no matter how many anything, I can't quite get lasting purpose. And so we're all searching after God. And so the first reason that you will not be satisfied by the things of this world, the things that are smoke, is because you have eternity in your hearts. You have a lasting, huge, gaping void in your heart. You need lasting purpose. And you know that as soon as you touch on it, as soon as you grab onto something, it's not lasting. You know your circumstances aren't lasting. You know that your money guarantees nothing. You know that your time is running out, but you have a lasting void. You have eternity in your heart. So that's reason number one why we cannot find meaning. Reason number two is, let's go to verse 20. What does verse 20 say? All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return. And now I will unveil why I have this blue tarp here. I'm sure you're all wondering that. So this is you. I don't know if you can't see it. It's dirt. And if you don't know what dirt looks like, very normal dirt. Here, I'll show you. This is how the Bible describes you. It describes us all as dirt, all going to one place. All beasts, all humans will look like this one day. This is just a matter of time until you look like this. Now, I know what you're thinking. Now you're thinking, well, I think you probably could have just told us that we are dirt. But then one of you lucky people wouldn't have gone home with a prize. So look under your seat. Somebody's going home with this dirt. I'm kidding. You're not going home with it. No, it's not one person. You're all going to come up and take a handful afterwards. And so you guys can take it, put it in your Bible. And so this is you, right? And so this is the dirt, and this dirt has a lasting void inside of it. It needs somehow to have lasting purpose. How is this dirt going to find lasting purpose? Well, it's got some ideas, don't you worry. This dirt, oh man, this dirt is really lucky. This dirt just got free tickets to a vacation in Puerto Rico. Look at this. Check it out, you guys. Hold on, okay, let's try something. Hey, dirt, are you satisfied? Okay, well, that didn't work. It has more ideas, people. This dirt is really lucky. This dirt got its own pickup truck. It's a huge pickup truck, and it's awesome, and it carries a lot of dirt. Okay, so this is Hammy's truck, so don't tell him I borrowed this. This is my son's truck. Okay, here we go. Oh, is that going to go too far? Oh, stop, please. Hey, dirt, are you satisfied? Are you happy? Okay, it has more ideas. This dirt thinks, oh, you know what would be really great? I think if this dirt had some money, this dirt might be satisfied. It has an eternal void, so what's it going to try and do? Okay, hey, here's some money, dirt. Okay, you guys aren't very pleased that I only gave them $1. Right, it's not enough money, so let's put some more zeros behind it, right? $100 bill, here we go, dirt. Are you content? No, okay, you're not happy there. So the dirt doesn't think it's strong enough, it doesn't weigh enough, so it's gonna work out, it's gonna improve its body, it's gonna get stronger and bigger. Here we go, $10, 10 pounds. And I notice that this is called a dumbbell. That's kind of ironic. If it's ironic that we're putting zeros at the end of our bank account, isn't it also ironic we use dumbbells in order to get stronger? Don't get mad at me, Hans and Franz, I'm sorry. Okay, so the dirt isn't satisfied with vacations or with money or with weightlifting or with a new truck, but maybe if we use some exfoliating lotion to make it look younger, right? Right, does this... Here we go. Hey, dirt, how are you feeling? How's the eternal void? Okay, so it doesn't like being stronger. It doesn't like being more rich. It doesn't like being looking younger. Well, maybe if it loses weight, right? Maybe if it loses weight and there's less of the dirt, maybe that'll feel better. Well, I think if we look at our dirt and we look at our pile of dirt, we understand that there's a reason that the dirt is not satisfied. And the obvious reason is that it's dirt. It has an eternal void. It has something deep and lasting and longing inside of it. And the dirt, even if it finds other dirt to hang out with, well, it's not satisfied. Even if the dirt gets a job at the local lawn and garden center as some topsoil, doesn't matter how good of a job the dirt gets. Doesn't matter how rich the dirt gets. It doesn't matter how anything the dirt gets. The dirt knows that it's dirt. And the dirt knows that dirt is not satisfied with smoke. Yeah, we may not be smoke, but we are dirt. All right, so how are we going to be satisfied? How are we going to find lasting meaning and lasting purpose? Well, we can't find it in dirt, and we can't find it in smoke. Everything that the dirt can hold on to is smoke. It's gone. So how can smoke fill an everlasting, an eternal void? Well, it's pretty simple. It can't. And that's the goad of Ecclesiastes. Remember week one, we talked about how if we're going to understand this book right, it better hurt us. The point of this book is to poke you and to hurt you. The point of this book is to shock you into thinking, oh yeah, my money actually means nothing. It means less than nothing. My vacations actually won't satisfy me. My job won't satisfy me. My dirt won't satisfy me. My losing more dirt, getting more dirt, being stronger, being younger, being healthier. None of those things are going to satisfy. That's supposed to hurt you a little bit. That's supposed to not feel good. And it, to be honest, it doesn't feel good to be dirt. It doesn't feel good to not be able to be satisfied. And it reminds me of Psalm 90, verse 12. One of my favorite verses in life is this. It says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. The point of Ecclesiastes is you need to understand that you are dirt. You are a couple years away from this. And it's just as ridiculous what you do in your life trying to find purpose, what I do in my life, as what we just did right there. It's the same thing. That dirt will not be satisfied, and neither will you, because you are that. So teach us, God, to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. A wise heart understands that that's what they are. A wise heart understands that that's who I'm going to be in a couple of years. That's me. In a couple of revolutions around the sun, that's going to be us. And you won't be wise until you understand that. Number one, you have a gaping eternal void. Number two, you're just dirt. That's what you're going to be. And so you will not be satisfied by dirt or smoke. Reason number three why we cannot be satisfied is look in verse 14. Verse 14 of chapter 3 says this. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. Whatever God does endures forever. Now that forever word should remind us of our eternal void. God has put eternity in our hearts, but whatever God does endures forever. I think sometimes maybe when God in heaven looks down at our lives, man, he must just think we are just downright fools. Whoever's watching us must just be flabbergasted at our foolishness. You know, as you said, we are prone to think, and I'm not pointing fingers at you, we are prone to think that churches with more money have a better potential to be used by God to change the world. We're prone to think that people with more zeros in their bank account have a better potential to be used by God to do something that lasts. Are you serious? We're prone to think that people who are more naturally gifted, maybe can talk up on stage, maybe are in their youth, maybe in their prime, that those people are better fit, better suited, more able to be used by God in this world. What? We're prone to think that people who have been trained in ministry, that people who have been trained and gone to school for ministry are better fit to be used by God. We're prone to think that people with clean testimonies, people that are just the perfect person, right? I don't know who I could point to in this room. Maybe like I don't know if Colton Wagner's here. Everyone knows Colton, right? Oh, I'm not Colton, right? I can't be used by God like that. He's just a perfect dude. Everyone loves him. He's amicable. He's funny. He's fun to be around. I can't be used like Colton. We're prone to think that we can't be used if we have sin in our past, if we have hard testimonies. We're prone to think that other people have a better chance of being used by God than us. We're prone to think that our money, our affluence, our everything is going to satisfy us. We're prone to think crazy thoughts, people. I mean, the amount of times I've heard things like, man, what could that church do with that kind of money to change the world? That is just craziness. Money, skill, age, talent, ability has nothing to do with being used by God. It literally has nothing. Like your age, if you think I can't be used by God because I'm not in my 20s anymore, have you been reading the Bible? Have you seen the story of what God uses and who God uses? Like we're prone to think, even as we read the Bible, that 100,000 Midianite warriors are stronger than 300 unarmed men with glass with clay vases. We're prone to think that. We're prone to think that a giant who's 9'6" is far more fearsome than a shepherd boy with a rock. We would be prone to think that. We're prone to think that a clumsy speaker could never confront the king of Egypt and lead a people in bondage to freedom. We would be prone to think that that could never happen. We'd be prone to think, as we're reading the Bible, that a couple in their 90s could never produce the promised child who's going to eventually bring a savior through that lineage. We'd be prone to think that. People in their 90s, they could never be used by God to do something that lasts, right? Whatever God does lasts, it lasts forever. We'd be prone to think, as we watch the story of the Bible, that 11 uneducated, common Galileans could never change the world. That's what we would be prone to think. We would be prone to think that the lead persecutor of the church could not be the greatest missionary, church planner, and theologian of all time. Using our human eyes, we would be prone to think that way. But if we've been actually reading the Bible, if we actually remember the stories and what is doing things that last, is it the churches with lots of money? Is it the talented people? Is it the young people? Is it the people who have awesome stories, horrible stories? Is it any of those people? Well, when you read the Bible, if you think that it's those people doing the work, you've completely missed it. You've completely missed it. Whatever God does lasts. Whatever God does lasts. Whatever person God decides to use, that work lasts. That work matters. Whatever life God decides to touch and fill and use and mold, that life matters. That life has purpose. That life has lasting value. We see things so many times with just human eyes. We see things with, okay, that person, that church has money. They could change the world. That's crazy. That person is young and talented. He could change the world. She could change the world. You're nutso if you think that. The only thing that is going to change the world is God using some dirt. The only thing that's going to change the world is God, somebody whose works last, filling somebody so that they might be used by him for his purposes. For our works are just like this dirt. They're going to fall apart. It's going to be smoke. It's going to fall apart to nothing. But whatever God touches, it's like the Midas touch, but with purpose. Whatever Midas touch turned to gold, whatever God touches lasts and has purpose. So if you want your life to last, if you want your life to have meaning, if you want your life to have purpose, here's the clue. You're not the one that's going to do it. If you want your life to matter, it's not going to be done by you. If you want to be used by God, are you kidding me? If we want to be used by God, we think this matters. Are you kidding me? If we want to be used by God, we think that being strong and healthy or being young and talented or being gifted and passionate, we think that matters. We must have lost our minds. Whatever God does lasts. Whatever God touches matters. Whatever God uses lasts forever. Do you want something to fill your eternal void? It's not going to be you. It's going to be God. So I think it's obvious by now, right, as we look through Ecclesiastes chapter 3, why can we not find meaning in smoke? Because we have an eternal void in our hearts. We're made of dirt, and only the things that God touches lasts. Only things that he does have actual lasting meaning. And so what is the hope for dirt? What hope does a dirt have? Well, every person that you meet is likewise dirt, and everything you could touch is likewise smoke. But there is a being who is neither smoke nor dust. There is a foundation that is stronger than cement. There is a gem more solid than a diamond. There's a treasure more lasting than the lasting worth of gold. And this is exactly where the book of Ecclesiastes leaves us. If you can, turn to Ecclesiastes 12 with me. How does the book of Ecclesiastes close? Well, with these words in verses 13 and 14. Chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. And verse 13 is what we're really going to look at. And remember that the preacher has been speaking for 11 and a half chapters, and you can see maybe in your Bible at verse 9 is when the author comes in, and he's giving his words to kind of close out the book. The preacher has said some hard things about us, and the author's going to bring it all together and encapsulate it. All has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. Well, if we are going to find lasting meaning in this life, it is not going to be by more dirt, not going to be by smoke, but it's going to be found in relationship with God. He says, fear God, keep his commandments. If you want your life to count, be in relationship to God. Relate to him. And this word, fear God, that's kind of a strange word. And if you want to go check out the podcast this week, we talked about how Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and when we're talking about wisdom, they all have a huge theme in their book of fearing God. Being wise before God, living a wise life is super, fearing God is super central to that throughout all the Bible. Fearing God is an important thing. It's not just here, it's through all the wisdom literature, and it's indeed throughout all of Scripture, fearing God. So what does fearing God mean? Well, I guess the best word we have for this to think about the fear of the Lord, to think about why we should fear God, is this word called transcendence. Transcendence is a word that essentially means that we might be like God, we are made in his image, but he is not like us. Right? He is not like you and me. Yes, we're like him, we're made in his image, but he is not like us. If you were to make a list of all the greatest beings in the universe, power, beauty, might, majesty, all these things, make a list, right? Just going all the way up to the top and maybe some cherubim or something or some archangel is number two on the list. Is God really only one place above the second most glorious being in the universe? The word transcendent means that you should, leave number one blank. Obviously it's God, but you might as well start a new list because he's on a different list. He is in a league of his own. He is not one greater, right? Right? He's not one greater than the second best being in the universe. That's not even fair. That's an insult to him to put him on that list. Make a new list, greatest beings ever, put God on the list. That's the end of the list. Everyone else can go on this list. That's what transcendence means. So when we stand before God, we should fear him. Well, for two reasons. Number one, he's the greatest being in the universe. And number two, he's the only being that can satisfy your eternal void. He's not one of the options that you can come skipping into his throne room and just sit down and throw your feet up and, hey, interview him, see if he's going to satisfy your longings. Right now, it's not how we reproach God. He's the greatest being in the universe, and he's your only hope for purpose. So we stand before him in awe. When we pray to him, we speak with honorable words. Ecclesiastes tells us when you go into God's throne room, don't waste words. And not that we can't be honest and can't be vulnerable, can't be open, but we don't just flippantly use words with God. We don't flippantly speak to him. We don't flippantly speak about him. We don't flippantly think about him. Every time we think about God, every time we talk about him, every time we approach him, we come in awe and in reverence. And so this fearing God motif is central to finding meaning in our lives. And I can't help but hear this. Can't help but hear these thoughts in Paul in Philippians chapter 3. And Philippians 3, 7 and 8 says this. But whatever gain I had, and Paul just gave his whole kind of testimony of all the things that he was a great Pharisee, great keeper of the law, did all these great things. He was an amazing man by worldly standards. As we would look at him, we think, oh, that's a great, at least in Jewish terms, God-fearing man. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So where does Paul find this lasting meaning? Where does he find lasting purpose? Well, it's not in his works. It's not in his money. It's not in the smoke of the world. It's not in the dust of himself. He finds lasting meaning in knowing Jesus, in standing in awe before God, fearing God, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and keeping his commandments. In other words, God is not smoke and he is not dust. He is a foundation. And here's a principle we need to understand as we're leaving the book of Ecclesiastes, that your sense of meaning is decided by the value of what you look for meaning in. It's not about how hard you look for meaning, but it's by what you find or by what you don't find. If you look for your meaning in smoke, you will feel its meaninglessness. If you look for your meaning in money, if you look for your meaning in your present circumstances, if you look for your meaning in your time and your age and your youth, if you look for meaning there, you will feel its meaninglessness. Because smoke is meaningless. It is here today and gone in a second. If you look for meaning in being dirt, if you look for meaning in your strength and your size and your age and your beauty and your talent, if you look for meaning there, you will be meaningless. You will feel meaninglessness because dirt is meaningless. But if you want to find lasting meaning, if you want to find a lasting purpose, the only place I can think of in Scripture to highlight this perfectly is Colossians chapter 1. Describing who Jesus is. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the transcendent one, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers and authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. If you want lasting meaning, do not look to dirt, do not look to smoke. Look to the one who is before all things, the head of all things, the creator of all things, the head of the church, the firstborn, the raised from the dead. If you want to find lasting meaning in your life, it's found in relating to God. And we relate to God, the New Testament is going to teach us, through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy our souls. And so we fear him, we obey his commandments, and we, Lord willing, get used by him, because God's works, Jesus' works through us, last. They matter. Any person that you love through the love of Jesus, that work matters. Any person that you show the greatness of Jesus to, that matters. Because he is not smoke. And he doesn't, whenever he touches something, it has purpose. And so where do we find purpose? Is it in being strong enough and good enough and talented enough or a good enough communicator enough? No, it's all smoke. unless God is using it, unless God is using your life, unless you are waiting for him to show up and move to be used by God to, for his purposes, for his glory, for his kingdom, it's all smoke. And so, yes, that's a goad. Yes, that hurts a little bit, but it is the greatest truth ever. It is the greatest news that we can be used by God for his purposes. So we fear him, we keep his commandments, and we pray and we wait for the day that God uses us. We long for the day that God fills us and moves in our lives to heal our families, moves in our lives to heal our communities, and moves in our lives to set the world afire for his glory. We wait for that day, and we pray for that day, and we long for him to fill our lives. And that is where lasting purpose, lasting meaning, and the eternal void can be satisfied, because you were made for a purpose, you were made to find him, you were made to be used by him, and you will be unsatisfied until he comes. So that's Ecclesiastes. That's the call of Ecclesiastes in our lives. May we not look for meaning anywhere else, in dirt, in smoke, in the meaninglessness of life. May we find our meaning in the eternal, lasting, transcendent creator, Lord over all. So let me pray for us. Father in heaven, God, we glorify your name today. Your name is so great, so high, so beautiful, so mighty. God, may we be used by you, and not for our own purposes, not for what we want to accomplish in our lives. God, it's all smoke. God, help us to come before your throne and worship, knowing that we've found the everlasting diamond of the universe. God, would you use us in this community, in our families, in our lives. God, would you move? God, if there are friends in this room who have never found their worth in accepting Christ and coming into your family, being reconciled to your side, Father, God, would you move right now in power that they would see Jesus as the most beautiful being in the universe? God, would you move, helping us to repent and believe in faith and trust you and walk with you? Jesus, would you continue to move, continue to use us, continue to, God, just pour out your spirit on us. We're so desperate for you to move. God, help us to worship you and love you more, love you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.